Yes. Yeehaw. It is Thursday. It is nine. So, of course, that means it's UK Cowboys time. How are we doing, Scotland versus England?
Yeah, it's good to be back after a few weeks off. You know, catching up on everything. Like I was saying to you, I had about 35 hours of podcast to listen to when I got back. Ended up listening three times the speed to get through it as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And it's good to see there is signs of life in the Cowboys. You know, we have actually signed somebody this week as well. No matter how you take it.
We'll get on and we'll talk about Royce Freeman and that pick in a moment. But the Godfather's in. How are we doing, sir?
Yeah, it's been a while since I've been on with you two guys. It feels like I've grown my arm back. And Will Long saying he's listening to podcasting double time. I bet he feels like he's listening to conversations with me, innit? You know what I mean? Oh, God.
It is actually sometimes, you know, it's like...
It's like come straight back on after not being on with you guys for a few weeks, 3 minutes in and already giving me the dagger to the heart. I'm with you guys.
But, I mean, here we go, guys. This is it. This really kind of, we've got next week's Project Prospect, and we're going to try and squeeze one more show in before day one arrives. We'll see. It's tentatively. We've got to wait on the interest, which a post is going out tomorrow to find out whether we're going to do it. So basically, we're going to do a call-in show next week. So if we get enough interest and enough people sign up, then we'll do it. But we'll wait and see. So that's next week's plan. But we are literally there, guys. So the Cowboy season finished. We did the Fan Rant show. We did a couple of other shows. Then we got straight into the draft. Then all of a sudden, we're right here. Goes from like 100-odd days, and we're down to like 7 days before day one of the NFL draft in Detroit kicks off. Very excited. As you guys know, I quite enjoy the draft, if you can't tell. So... we're up onto it. So we're going to do this show now where we're going to look at a couple of things, and I'm going to ask you some questions relative to some players that we could look at and haven't talked about in next week's draft. As you notice, I keep saying next week because it just blows my mind that we're so close. We're so close. We're so fine. But we're also going to look at Dane Brugler's seven-round mock. A couple of things I want to talk about on it, but there's one very, very big glaring thing that I really quite like about the mock draft. It's not so much specifically about the picks. But let's get into the first news of all, guys. And you touched on it straight away, Lorne, and we'll talk about it. Everyone at home as well will give a chance to talk about this particular move. The Cowboys sign a veteran running back, which I think was kind of needed. They did the same thing last year with Ronald, with RJ, but that never came off. Talk to me about this pick, guys. How do you feel about the idea of Royce Freeman being now the veteran presence running back that will be? Because, I mean, I personally think myself this signing was better than last year's signing. I don't know how you feel about it all. But give it to me straight. What do you guys think of Royce Freeman so far?
Yeah, it's hard to know. I mean, obviously he, you know, came in, spent time with Denver. Obviously, you know how Denver, their offensive scheme, you know, they were able to churn out running backs who were not drafted or whatever, you know, and he was a third round pick. So, you know, he does have a good pedigree coming out of college. He's a bit of a journeyman now. He's, you know, Dallas is now his fifth team that he's been with. You know, and he was relatively underused last year, but ultimately, you know, he's averaging about 3.8 yards a carry over his career. You know, he's got 86 receptions, couple of touchdowns, that sort of thing. As you say, it's veteran leadership in the backfield. You know, and I think something Amber picked up on this week on the break, you know, she said that, you know, he actually looks like he could fill the Zeke role as well in some respects. Mm-hmm. He's quite got the bulk, and you can maybe obviously used Dildo as the sort of Tony Pollard role. So, but again, I mean, this shows that we're not, you know, just the general state of play across the league for running backs, you know, isn't to go out and spend a lot of money. It puts a plaster over glaring need, but, you know, you know, again, if you look at a lot of the mock drafts, they're all saying that, you know, we're going to end up with Jonathan Brooks at some point in time. Obviously, we do have a level of security with that in that, you know, it was the Cowboys doctors that did the surgery on Jonathan Brooks. So, you know, if you bring him in, Freeman's not going to take a job away from you, but, you know, certainly get good use out of him in the initial period while you're waiting for Brooks to rehab and get ready.
Yeah, like you said, the stats don't jump off the page, do they? But this, for me, screened short yardage anywhere on the field and in the red zone. So just to get that big bodied back in here, we've not had that really since Zeke left. Don't think it alters what the Cowboys are going to do in the draft in terms of a running back or picking up a running back. I wonder if, like you say, when they touched on it on the rest of the day, I wonder if it maybe just maybe let gives the Cowboys an option of looking at a different kind of back. Whereas if they're going to look at a Trey Benson or a Brooks, they're likely going to be running back one. Can do a bit of both. Whereas, I mean, if you look a bit further down the draft, maybe rounds four onwards, it could give you the option of maybe picking up a bit more of a speedster and then doing it more of a running back by committee, which, you know, the Cowboys like to do. About time we made a move. Is it going to be the right move? Only time will tell in terms of how it produces. It just, the only other knock on effect is obviously then now, because although we've got a need at running back, there's quite a few bodies in that running back room now. So it's who's going to be the fall guy when all said and done, when training camp comes round. Because like I say, now we're unlikely to add another body in the draft. So it's going to be interesting next few months to see how that then pans out to how many of the catch people on the roster going into preseason and then inevitably the season as well.
Yeah, so here's the big question, right? Because some people are jumping all over this, and I feel it's completely wrong. I think that having Royce Freeman in, it changes nothing to the fact that the Cowboys still need to draft a running back. Agree or disagree?
Completely agree. I mean, you can't rely on Royce Freeman, Rico Dowdle, Juice Vaughn, and Hunter Lupke. You need at least something that you know will give people consideration at least. Otherwise, you're just going to load the box and, you know, let Dak and CeeDee Lamb have to throw with with everybody jumping on top of them almost immediately. You know, so the running game needs to be a threat as much as anything else.
Jamie?
I don't think it alters the Cowboys look whatsoever. It's just how I say how he's gonna play out as the rest of this offseason kind of plays itself out. Is he coming in to bring up the level of everybody that's in that room at the minute? Because they've now got a veteran presence that's, although his stats don't jump off the page to you, he's a very serviceable running back. You know what I mean? There's not a lot of tread on the tyres, so to speak. So if it comes down to somebody who, say, like, I'm just using a name because he's it popped up as like someone like a Juice Vaughn that kind of still trying to find his way on the team. Is it going to be that the Cowboys then let Juice Vaughn go because they've they've got running back, say, two or three, and they're trying to find a place for a veteran. Because to be honest, if the Cowboys go into this new season without a veteran on there, I think I'd be a little bit worried more for just how it's going to pan out. Because like I say, we're going to bring a rookie in, depending on which one we get him in, likely going to be Carr. But going in there with a rookie and then a couple of guys that have not really played any downs will probably worry me a little bit, just for the fact that if we're all in, then we need someone with a veteran presence there to help bring guys along and put his knowledge out onto the field and kind of lead by example.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you there. I think as well that having a guy like Royce Freeman, I think what that is more interesting or best for, I think, that we've brought up is his biggest strength. It's not necessarily going to be the type of running style that he brings. It's a little bit upright, which has its own concerns. But I think the biggest thing I think is that you've got Rico Dowdle, who's in terms of being a running back, playing in games is fairly new. You know, I know he's been on the roster a while, but he's missed out because of injury, so he's ended up being on IR before he's had a chance. So last year was really his main year, or his biggest year, if you like.
Yeah.
Then you're going to get obviously a rookie in, because I think that's going to happen either way. I think what Freeman is good at is going to be most important in is being the gel that binds it all together, because he's the veteran presence, because he's got the mind. When things are down or things are tough, or, you know, they're feeling lackadaisical, or, you know, the stamina, you know, there's not much left in the tank, he can be the guy to help spur them along, to help them keep going, to find a way. And I think that's going to be his biggest strength for the Cowboys. I actually think that, you know, last year when they got Rojo in, I was kind of like, yeah, okay, I like this. He's not a bad runner. In terms of, because, you know, they were drafted at about the same time. I actually think Freeman is a better running back and has so far had the better career. You know, I just feel that way about it. So it's not a bad little move. It solidifies a spot for them and keeps things rolling. I think we're going to see more of the roster fills post-draft is what I think. Whether that's with guys... Go on, mate.
Sorry, yeah, I thought you finished, mate. Apologies.
No, you go on.
No, I was just going to kind of just throw an extra bit out there just to see what you thought. So what would... So out of them all, not sure to anybody, but Link is definitely going to be on this roster,
yeah,
in that running back / fullback kind of role. So would you go into the season carrying four running backs in total? So Link, one of the veterans, a rookie in the draft, and then one of the guys that's on there. Oh, would you rather go Link and just two and create a spot, maybe an extra spot for a lineman or somebody on defense? I don't know what you do.
I'll let Lorne answer first, and then I'll give my answer. Unless you want me to go first, mate?
If you want, you fire away and I'll...
Do you need time to think, or have you got your answer?
No, I think you're probably going to go in with three running backs. You'll have something like Malik Davis, who will be sitting on the practice squad again, or whoever beats him out or whatever. You'll have people on the practice squad that you can bring up as game day elevations. But I mean, ultimately, the success of this running game will need to come from the offensive line. So we certainly need to focus on that. Now, you can only have a certain number of offensive linemen active during the game. You can only play a number of offensive linemen during the game as well. But, you know, so if you bulk up the strength of the offensive line there, then yes, you're probably giving up a running back, because you're not going to be giving up a wide receiver. So I think the focus will be sort of three running backs and probably an extra lineman there, or you know, maybe an extra tight end, something like that. So that we go to two tight end set or something. So
yeah, definitely. Now I got asked a question on one of the mailbags about who you think could be or who is like on the bubble for being cut this year. And I said, well, maybe not so much cut, but could be like pushed way, way down on the roster where we never see him this season is Juice Vaughn. Yeah. It's good to see, you know, I've seen the images and the videos of him working out. Yeah, fantastic. Great. All right, fine. I mean, this is the year where they all break out their workout videos and all the rest of it. And you're like, oh, wow, he's in shape. Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. I mean, that's another conversation for another day about those videos, but there we go. But I just think that based on, you want to keep Lipke because there is a skill set there that is very different to what you can get from the other guys. And I believe there's something there, especially in the receiving game with him. Deuce Vaughn last year, we've seen what they thought of him because they turned around like virtually after a couple of games of the season and just went, yeah, you're done. And they shut him down for the year. And we never got to see him again, you know? I know the issue people have when you talk badly about Deuce Vaughn is that he did a lot in college football, led the FBS in all-purpose yards. Yeah, that's no small feat, right? Unbelievable. Plus, there's the feel-good story of the draft with him and his father on the phone and telling him to go to work and all the rest of it. So there's a lot of heart for him. But, you know, what you've got to look at is you've got to look at the player and what they can provide. And unfortunately, there is nothing you can do for a guy for Deuce Vaughn in a weight room or in a classroom or schematically or anything that will change the fact that he's 5'6" and like 170 pounds, and whatever he is, I think he's less than that. The guy is small, right? You can't change that. And they tried to make something work with him last season and they just couldn't figure it out. Now, when you go, like you say, they're going to have to carry Lipke. They will. They've got Freeman. They've got Rico. So there's already three running backs, if you like. So they're going to have to draft a rookie. They're going to have to draft a running back. They just need to. Which type of running back it is, I mean, we'll talk about one in a moment that was in a mock draft because we're going to go through that. And these are the type of guys that you need. So once you do that, now you're carrying four running backs. Plus you've got what's on your practice squad. So now where does that leave Deuce Vaughn? And I think that just makes him the odd man out. So unless he can do something on special teams, which he's going to struggle to do because we've got our guy on special teams as well at the moment, it really makes him an odd man out.
There also is his biggest competition because, you know, last year, Kevontae Turpin was used out of the backfield as well as a threat. Yep. That kind of took Juice Vaughn's job away from him as well. So, you know, unless, heaven forbid, something happens to Kevontae Turpin, and you're talking about Juice Vaughn as punt returner, kick returner, special teams that way, that's probably the only way you're talking about him getting on the field, to be honest. But you know, would take an actual injury to get him called up. Unless, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he has a magic wand or something like that, that he can just automatically, you know, people can't find him on the field. And, you know, all through training camp, all through preseason game, he's suddenly running for 200 yards and, you know, then he develops and, you know, the coaches have to say, look, we have to play this guy. And he continues that first three, four games of the season. That's the only way he's going to break into this league, to be honest. You know, as long as Kevontae Turpin's there, then, you know, there's your utility back. And that's Juice Vaughn limited to practice squad, to be honest.
So I think the thing you did, they touched on it on the break yesterday, that Oh, for, in terms of for Juice Vaughn, anyway, it's a shame. Not for the Cowboys, but the Juice Vaughn as a player, it's a shame for him that Turpin came along as much as he did. Because, like you say, like Long covered there. I mean, he did a lot out of the backfield, but we also saw a bit more of Turpin as the receiver as well. And
there you go.
I think that's going to trump the Cowboys. They've got this Swiss Army knife that can do something in the return game, in the punt game. You can have him on the backfield, but you can also have him at times as a legitimate threat going deep. And like you say, with how many are on there at the minute, and likely who's going to pop up, or likely one or another coming in. What Vaughn offers compared to say a Turpin, so that Cowboys front office job a little bit more easier, just to what production they get. Like you say, do you really want to give Vaughn 2, 3, 4, 5 snaps on offense when he's not good? Not really good offer, you know. Get bum out, Paul. Whereas you see, you can put Turpin in there and you can kind of open the playbook a little bit more and catch teams off guard.
I know. he is literally in a struggle trying to get home right now. He's getting it's like an episode of Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, part three, because part two happened to him like about 2 years ago as well.
He has the worst luck when it comes to traveling. It literally reminds me of a little bit in terms of the luck he has for traveling. Can you remember the mum off of All Alone in the first one? I was just about to say that.
He's
literally going to be like hitchhiking all the way back from Texas to back here. It's just like he has no luck whatsoever.
he's so cursed. I actually felt nervous about like flying. I was like, you know, when we were all going out with him, and I was just like,
yeah, no.
He's so cursed. This could be the flight. We were okay. But yeah, he's trying to get his way home at the moment, playing the cello. So, and just to add to his concerns, somebody then clones him and makes their own Instagram.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So yeah, he's getting burned for that one as well, unfortunately. So it's all right. We've got that one under control. He has been, or she has been reported, whoever it is. Anyway, but that's the way these things go. Anyway, back to the Cowboys before this turns into the Paul's flight plan podcast, where we just try and see the plane going through the sky. You know, like yep. He is here. I'm with you. Either Deuce Vaughn, I think he's on the ledge at the moment. And like you say, because other players last season came on, that kind of was his way in, I think. And he really is now struggling to find a role. You never know with these things, mind. You know, we could get to training camp. Deuce Vaughn's still there. There's something that they've done that he's come along better this year. They go to, like, you know, go through the playbook and trying to put things into the playbook for him. And lo and behold, you've got something there. You never know. But when you think about it, they do that. That would be your rookie running back, Royce Freeman, Rico Dowdle, Deuce Vaughn, and Hunter Lipke. That is basically we're turning into the Baltimore Ravens here with the amount of running backs that they're playing. So it would be very wild to see for them to go down that road, especially when you think of the way that this team likes to distribute the ball and move it around, especially in the passing game like you've seen last year, which is why CeeDee Lamb got so high on it. But here's a question for you from Chris Gons. I like this one. So how do you guys feel about Jonathan Brooks from Texas? Because, I mean, I got my feelings. I think that some of what the Cowboys have done with Jonathan Brooks has been, and I know the Cowboys doctor was the one that done the ACL repair on him. So they've got the biggest insight and the biggest knowledge because he's the guy that done the surgery. But I just think they were more doing their due diligence. I get it out. Jesus. I haven't even been drinking either on him to try and see what's there. But I don't think it's going to be because he would have to be taken in the second round, I think. And I just don't think they're going to do that. I feel that they are, which we will talk about when it comes to the sequencing, they're not, that they are not going to do that with him. I just think that this, it's not a smoke screen. It just seems to be that they've done the investigation. That's what all this was about. I just think there's bigger needs and a bigger plan. I know he falls into the bracket of the typical Cowboys second round pick, you know, comes with red flags, is the Cowboys second round picks. But we'll talk about another one of that in a moment. But give me your take, guys, on what you think about Jonathan Brooks. I don't think this is going to be a Cowboys pick at all for a whole host of reasons. But give it to me. What do you guys think?
See, well, obviously, Jamie and I are big Longhorns fans. I think, yes. You know, it's a shame for Jonathan Brooks. I think Jonathan Brooks, had he not had this injury, might have been probably your only running back that might have been had a hope of getting drafted in the first round. You know, tail end of the first round. I don't think there was any, certainly there wasn't somebody that you would say is every year where they say there's 14 or 15 guaranteed first round picks. I don't think he's one of those. I think he's a 1-2 if he was healthy. Okay. Unfortunately, the fact that you're probably talking that, but it's going to be early training camp before he's even ready to get into individual drills. You're probably talking end of training camp for the sort of the actual team drills and everything like that. And then you're probably talking a little bit of a ramp up into the season as well. That pushes him further down and you're probably talking second or third round anyway. The fact that we don't have, because we haven't done anything in free agency, we don't have the luxury to take the second round gambles that we normally do, like Jalen Smith.
Agree, yeah, right on.
You know, especially as the second round gambles haven't worked out for us. They've worked out for a year or so, but then, you know, so we've had to move on. I don't think we have that luxury. So therefore, I'm saying no for the Cowboys picking him. Certainly not in the second round. If he's there tail end of day three and we've managed to pick up another pick, yeah, maybe take a flyer on him in the third round or whatever. But generally, you know, I'd be much better with Benson, to be honest.
Yeah, Benson is my number one RB on my board. Easy. But go on, Jay.
Yeah, no, see, I absolutely love Brooks. Like Lon said, me and I think he would have been for the injury. I think you might have seen UT in the nine last year or this year, are you? Quite a bit. He can do everything. Not so much as the exact caliber of Zeke, like the high level, but I think a lot of not that he plays injured, but in some ways could that be a blessing in disguise for the Cowboys into that Cowboys in surgery on because I think you could argue that if he didn't get injured, you may have won a series at the back end of the first round. Someone may have pull the trigger, but now you're seeing him anywhere from kind of mid to late second round, maybe third round. So that could benefit the Cowboys. If they pull the trigger if they don't get a trade back, if they pull the trigger with their only second round pick, be very surprised just for the fact that although we need a running back, it wouldn't surprise me if the Cowboys doubled its offensive line the first 2 rounds, or did offensive line and linebacker, and then try and pick him. And as well, maybe I think it depends on as well what happens with Benson. Like you say, there's a lot of some people have got Benson first, some people have got Brooks first. I think it depends on who. If anybody bites on Benson, then I wonder if the Cowboys are really sold on him. But the Cowboys have brought in a couple of other running backs. Marshall. So they're doing their due diligence on other running backs, which I say with the addition of Freeman gives the Cowboys a little bit of leeway in not having to pick one so high. But it's one of them. Like, we mentioned it to Bright overnight. When you obviously you follow an NFL team, but then you start getting into college football, and then all of a sudden these players declare and go to the draft, and you see them play for somebody else. So it'd be devastating to see Brooks play a different. Wish yourself for the tears and the upset come draft night, whichever night on that draft night is.
Yeah, yeah. And just let you know, Jay, your mic was dipping in and out a little bit.
I'm not surprised. I don't know what's up with it. Yorkshire
internet again.
You know it.
All right, so here we go, right? So what we thought we'd do, draft one week away, Dane Brugel bangs out his 7-round mark. Guy is, like, he's pretty good. He's pretty correct in what he does and what he says. He's been pretty accurate in the past, especially when it comes to the Cowboys. He gets it. He's got a few right, actually. He was bright on the LVE one, which kind of like all made us look in his direction, scramble about a week before the draft, because nobody's seen that. And we were like, what? And we only had to go and check. But here we go, right, guys. Tell me if you would make this pick that Dana said. Now, I will tell you what I feel about the entire. It's more about the entirety of the draft, the mock draft Dana's done, right? Tyler Guyton, Oklahoma, is the Cowboys' first pick at pick 24. Bearing in mind, JPJ was still on the board. He was available when this pick was made. Guyton, as well, has been one that a lot of people have had mocked to the Cowboys. Done it a few times. We've seen all the major scouting ones all make this pick, which I find quite wild. And the bit that I find crazy with it is just because he just has such little starting experience. I mean, it's better than Mims. I wrote about an article about Mims, about being a surprise pick for Cowboys if he made it, only because Mims has only played eight or started in 8 games. He's been a backup and he's a right tackle. Guyton, kind of similar, but he does have some versatility. Do you guys agree with this pick for Dallas? Would you? I'm like, to me, do you know what this is how I feel when I see Guyton pick. I'm like, okay. I'm not like happy. I'm not disappointed. I'm not upset. I'm not thrilled. It's just kind of like, yeah, okay. That's how I feel about it. What are your guys' takes?
Who? If the Cowboys don't get a trade, I wouldn't be disappointed in the pick. It definitely fills a massive need, and I think a lot of people it's the medical in it on JPJ that's starting to scare a lot of people. Player, but it's the injury concern. If nobody's obviously seen that, well, I haven't even seen this mock. My only question would be, at some point, the Cowboys pick up a center in this mock. Not to say when or where, but do the Cowboys pick a center?
I do believe they do. Hold on. Yes, they do. They do. Right. They do. Yeah.
Cool. So then if they picked up a centre, then then why not get one of the top tackles? Because I mean, listening to Brian Borders, as you're getting down towards the end of the third round, there's still quite a bit of depth at centre. So picking up one of the top tackles, I mostly the Cowboys can. I would prefer a different scenario in the third round, but that's all based on a trade.
This is something like Paul was saying earlier, that the boys in Dallas Cowboys media are even saying the same thing. Go on, Mom.
Yeah, I think you've obviously got two areas on the offensive line that we need to focus on in some respects. Now, as great as Brock Hoffman was that game that he was called up and basically told that an hour before that he was playing. And he was playing center or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not something. He played really well. Can he? But he's been on the practice squad of both us and the Giants for a couple of years now as well. This is the year. Yeah, it's the year where he needs to prove himself. But you know, the fact that he's been on the practice squad for 3 years suggests that you know there is an upgrade there. Similarly, if you're not moving Tyler Smith out to left tackle, which personally I'd rather keep him at left guard. I think the fact that he went to the Pro Bowl as a left guard suggests that's where his position is. So my focus would be on tackle. If that's the best that comes up, then at 24, personally, I'd be looking at trading back and. You know, at least to sort of the lowest of good would be sort of 31 or so, pick up an extra pick, a third or fourth round pick. And that, you know, you can then pick somebody else up then. You know, again with centre, JPJ, I've started to hear things that there's medical issues. Is that true or not? We never know until. You know, it becomes public knowledge after the fact that you know he's missing a tendon or he's got a partial tear of a tendon or something like that. There is talk about him being injured or having injury concerns. If that's what the Cowboys brain trust have, you know, and they're sitting at the moment, they're sitting there. 20 hours a day, they're having their arguments about players formulating their draft boards and everything like that. And this is where they go up and down. Now, when we've taken an offensive lineman in the first round the last 5 or 6 years, we've hit on it, going all the way back to Travis Frederick. I'm quite happy with how our scouting department deals with offensive line. If they rank tackle higher than centre, then great. And, you know, there are certainly plenty of centres in the second and third round that you could probably get starting potential out of as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like I say, like Tyler Guyton, I understand it, I get the pick. But to me, like, it's a pick where I'm just kind of like, all right, fine. It's just like that. It doesn't. It's not like a. But I agree with you, Lorne, that when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys and drafting first round linebackers, I'm not gonna dispute what they're doing there. They've proven more than enough times in recent history in the last decade, if not more. They know how to do that. You can argue about anything you want about how they draft players, but one thing they are very solid at doing is drafting offensive linemen in the first round, and you can't deny it. They are solid at it. But the second guy...
I think everyone always looks at it as well, though, that when it comes to kind of these kind of picks, like I say, we were all the same... with Travis Frederick. To be fair, you could probably say the same with Tyron Smith, even though it's looking ahead. It's not, and that's not disrespect to linemen, but it's not the sexy pick, is it? Like, you go into it, fans want quarterback or the clutchy wide receiver or the playmaking running back. It's like they get people excited, but for me, sometimes these picks are sometimes the best, like you say, because if you hit on one, like you say, well, if you look over recent years, the Cowboys have hit quite well on the. So we've been lucky, haven't we, on the defensive line. Actually, these probably make your flashy players even better than what they are. I'm not saying that they're rubbish anyway, but they're good players. But what's the point of having a good offensive line and having this flashy wide receiver, flashy running back, because you can't get out of what you need. But sometimes these picks, I like these more just for the fact that they're getting nasty up front.
I'm totally with you. Let's go to the next guy so we can try and rip through these. You're cool, man. You're cool. You know, at the end of the day, we're trying to get as much draft content squeezed in between now and next week. There's lots to talk about, yep. Jamie. Yeah. And you're the godfather. Nobody's going to stop you from talking.
Nah, man. We're all the same. We're all lunatic Cowboys fans that like to stay up till stupid o'clock for no reason.
Yeah. Next weekend is when it hits hardest. Like, you get to Sunday and trying to like do content and articles and everything, and you're just staring at it, and you're just like, I'm making no sense right now.
Me and Lorne and the rest of the guys are just thinking, thank God, I didn't want to do it a 24-hour show.
I know.
I haven't said no yet.
Well, it won't be next week. You can put it off.
the delirium was real. That's all I can say. But all right, pick number two. And this is a guy I did an article on Fansided, ironically, before Dane Brugler brought this out. And I put that all 32 teams, their best prospect fits. I messed up on one. All right. And I'm sorry. Don't care about the rest. All right. Now, the Cowboys I had the best fit is Peyton Wilson. That is who Dane Brugler as the Cowboys second-round pick. Again, like I said earlier, second-round picks for the Cowboys usually have to come with a red flag. In Peyton Wilson's case, it's double shoulder, double ACL, hamstring. There's a whole host that this guy has. I mean, if you go and look at images, if you just Google him and you Google like more his last season with NC State, the guy's held together with bands and braces and all the rest. It looks crazy. But one of the reasons why I said he's such a good fit is that he's a cerebral high IQ guy, able to read the offense, able to adjust and marshal defense and be a fantastic leader and captain of the defense. I've said that's Sean Lee. Right. Obviously, in the same respects, he has the same issues, the same negative connotations as Sean Lee had, in the sense that he's often injured. The issue I think that people have with taking Peyton Wilson in the second round is that it's still a premium pick for a guy who has big medical issues, that plays on a volatile position, who you think that really effectively he's, and he's quite old as well, so he's going to be 24 when he gets drafted, so you think he's going to play 4 years in the NFL at linebacker, who's already injured. So when he gets to 28, when his contract's going to be due up, is he going to get another contract with the Cowboys? You think probably not at that age, at that position, with the laundry list of issues with him. So you're going to spend a second round pick on a guy who's really just going to be a four-year player. He's just basically a four-year plug-in for you. He is really good, though. I will say that. What's your guys' take on Dane's idea of taking Peyton Wilson with the second-round pick, bearing in mind Edgren Cooper and there was various other linebackers who were still available to them? I mean, what do you guys think?
Well, I mean, again, if it was aside for the medicals, I would love Peyton Wilson. I think he is the prototype linebacker for this draft. You know, he tackle, knows how to take guys to the floor without having to do this hip drop that obviously is now going to be is going to be outlawed. But, you know, there is the problem of the medical. And you're talking about, if you go in the Cowboys linebacker succession, you've had Sean Lee, who begat Leighton Van Der Esch, both injury-prone, but yeah. cerebral players, which, yes. you know, if they've been able to stay healthy, play on the field, you could be talking about sizing them up for yellow for gold jackets for Canton. Unfortunately, those two haven't panned out, and it does make me a bit skittish about investing a second round pick on somebody like Wilson. Again, you know, as you say, he's coming out, he's 24. That's the same age, I think, as Sean Lee was when he came out as well.
Yeah. So again, yeah.
Got that consideration as well. Mm-hmm. But equally, you can have guys that are in college, they have all the bad luck, they you know, they separate shoulders. I mean, this guy played and separated both shoulders in a game. You know, the fact that he stayed in the game after one separated shoulder, obviously must have had all the kinesis tape put on that shoulder and then went and separated the other one as well, you know. You know, shows what a good player he is. But, you know, again, there is that problem. Now, he could come out, be a pro and have no injuries at all and have a 10-year career. You just, unless you've got a crystal ball, you've got no idea what's going to happen. You know, and he's probably the biggest linebacker in terms of size, you know, coming out. The rest... The linebackers that are coming out this year, they all seem to be the sort of tweeners that we've been having the last couple of years, where they're only 240 to 220 in terms of weight, you know. So it's that range, and, you know, again, you're talking no better than having DeMarvian Overshawn, who's coming back from injury. He was 220-odd pound last year as well, so... But I mean, if Edgar and Cooper's there or Trotter's there, I mean, Trotter again, height is the problem with him. He's only 6 foot. But you know, again, he's got the NFL pedigree, where his dad was a good, you know, his dad was a great player for the Dirty Birds up north, you know. So I like the pick. I just, you know, it's, you know, can you rely on him?
That's it. And me and Brian did the linebacker position a few weeks back. I mean, we're talking way, way back, maybe about 10 weeks ago, possibly. And we were looking at the linebacker position. And the way I described the difference between Edgren Cooper and Peyton Wilson is Peyton Wilson... on paper, if you remove the big red flags, is probably or quite easily a better linebacker than Edgren Cooper. But in this draft, when you look at the totalitarian part of it, you take everything into account. As a prospect, as a linebacker, off-ball linebacker prospect, Cooper is the better in comparison to Wilson. Like, the ceilings are very, very different, but the floors are also very, very different as well because of the injury issues that Wilson has. But there's no denying what Wilson has done, especially last season, is just, like, phenomenal. The accolades and the awards that he got, the way he played, he was just a complete beast against the run and against the pass. You've seen it in both. You know, the athleticism, which we also saw at the combine, the guy's unbelievable. But it's just that there's just such a huge red flag there with him. And, you know, what my issue comes with is, right, we have issues with the medicals. What's the problem with DeMarvian Overshow? Big question mark because of the medicals. Then you got Damone Clark. What's the issue? Well, he comes with durability concerns because of the spine issue he had in his rookie season. So now you've got four linebackers, and three of them all have major medical, you know, things that you've got to consider and deal with throughout the season. Like, on such a volatile position, the huge question marks you're going to be playing with, especially when there's nothing else, you know, there. Because, I mean, they shipped them all off last season. So that's my big problem with Wilson. But, all right, then. Third round, guys. The Cowboys took running back from Tennessee, Jalen Wright. Now, me and Brian have spoken about Jalen Wright. He's a sneaky guy. Now, to me, I think he comps quite closely to Tony Pollard, is the way I look at it. People are all talking about the bruiser type. I think Rico Dowdle is going to play that role as the bruiser. I think Jalen Wright, so on my board, he is my sixth running back. He's running back number six.
Yeah.
For the third round, running back, I think this is the sweet spot to take them. Like, because obviously you've got choices that you can make at running back. I quite like the idea of taking Jalen Wright. I've got no problems with him. Good vision, good contact balance, good speed, good agility. I don't know what if you guys have any thoughts on this. I know Tennessee spread offense, so it kind of helps him out a little bit, and they play very, very quite a lot. I mean, like, this dude's not bad. What's your take on Jalen Wright? And then I'll give you a scouting report on him.
I mean, again, I agree. You know, he's trending on the way up. You know, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, his yardage has got higher and higher every year, probably as he's got more au fait with the offense and other players have moved on. But, you know, last year he only had 137 carries but broke 1,000 yards. So, I mean, that shows correct. That he obviously has had numerous 20, 30, 40-yard runs or whatever, that you know, for his average to be that high.
7.4 yards per carry.
Yeah. But again, as you say, because Tennessee operate a spread offense.
It's a very weird offense. Yeah.
That does make it very easy for running backs to come out of the backfield and get that yardage. So, again, as a player I like, I mean, again, as you say, I'd probably have him about running back six, you know, and I think he would show up well in this backfield as well. But again, there's if you focused on the offensive line and improved the offensive line, that should mean that you can take a running back like this and actually be able to get success from them and make them better than they probably are. So,
yeah. Go on, Jay. Have you got a take on this? Or
It goes back to what we were talking about at the top of the show, that with who's on the roster already at running back, it gives the Cowboys a bit of an option of a bit more, like I say, a bit more of an elusive player. And then, running back by committee. And I suppose in some ways, you know, you could get two on the field at the same time, like I say, maybe put something like a Dowdle on with the guy from Tennessee, and just trying to confuse the defenses a little bit. Like saying, I'm just trying to make them think of what the Cowboys are trying to brew up. So it's a need. It's one of the top running backs in the draft. I think so far with the three picks, I know we don't like injury players, but like I say, it's one of the top offensive linemen so far. I give a second best linebacker, and then a top running back. I think it's hit. You've got three starters there, which I think said. I think we said, didn't we? How deep this draft is, you could potentially get five starters in the first five rounds. So it's improved the Cowboys. And like I said, it helps make the offense a bit more dangerous.
No. I'm with you. I like it, and I think they can double dip with the running back position. I don't think maybe with the draft picks, but in the UDFA market, because that's going to crop up, I think they'll find a guy in there. All right, next pick at pick number five, round five, sorry, was Miami center Matt Lee. This actually has some people scrambling around a little bit because not many people know about him because he's kind not far down, I think is the wrong word to use. He is logged a little lower in. So for me, he's, yeah, I mean, like, it is quite far down, but I have him as a multi, he's a guy who can play multiple positions, center being the main one. His pass blocking, when you go and watch it, pass blocking is not that bad. It's actually quite good. He's got some very refined skills when it comes to the pass blocking. The run blocking needs a lot of work, mostly because he tends to stand up or set himself way too tall than what he needs to be. And he's already 6'5". So you imagine, like, from the inside position, when you're trying to get squatty and you're standing tall at 6'5", makes him easy to forklift and maneuver around. I don't know if you guys, have you had a look at all at the Miami, at this pick at all, about this player, or do you want me to talk a little bit about it and move on?
No, I mean, I'd probably say exactly the same as you, that, you know, he's almost like the Asim Richards pick that we made last year, where, as you say, he's better at the pass blocking. The run blocking is a concern at the moment. He was actually probably one of the fastest centers in this in the combine this year. Mm-hmm. That you know, he ran a 5.03 40 yards dash and 1.76 out for the first 10 yards as well. So from that point of view, you know, it does look good, and that shows he has the athleticism. And again, if you're talking about coming down to taking a center with the fifth round pick, then you know, he's probably the best available at that point in time. Again, for me, I'd perhaps want a double dip on offensive line earlier on in the draft. But again, it's you know, it depends on what the best you should never actually go to a draft and say, right, well, my best player available is this guy, but we need this position, so I'm taking this guy.
Yeah.
You know, so if come the third round where Van Pran's still available, but, you know, you've got somebody above him in your talent pool or whatever, you know, you've obviously got to take him and let the cards fall the way they do. So,
Jamie?
Yeah, I think you guys have touched this. I mean, everything we probably need to cover on that. You just don't want to leave yourself short. Do you, like, say, depending on which way you go, like, depending on how far you go back, are you getting someone that's really a legit star, or are you drafting just to plug in for the sake of it? It's that basically. It's good. I know it's kind of a bit of a tangent, but it's losing that fourth round pick kind of hurts, doesn't it? Because, like you say, you could, like you say, maybe like a launch mission, like, so like a vampire. That was kind of the way you finally may get him in the third, but then it obviously depending on how the board falls before us. Because whether that fourth, do you then reach to get him, or what? So in terms of the rest of that, yeah, I think.
I mean, like, the way I did it is, if you want to use a guy who you know, best comp for him, for me, is Juice Scruggs, the center from Houston Texans. Think of that. There you go. There's your guy. So that's how I'm looking at him. So beyond that, then, in round six, there was wide receiver Xavier Weaver from Colorado, cornerback Chow Smith Wade from Washington. Like that pick. I do like Chow Smith. And defensive end Javonte Jean-Baptiste from Notre Dame. Interesting picks. Of those three, I think Chow Smith is my favorite one. I do think wide receiver and in day three is going to be important. But give me what you think, guys, on those last final picks, and then I will just give my little spiel, and then we can start wrapping things up here. But yeah, give me your take, guys, on those last three picks.
It covers needs, doesn't it, and gives you a little bit of depth. And no disrespect to the guys, like I said, when you're looking around those grounds, it's filling out your roster, and you're looking at something to maybe play special teams a little bit as well, and hope that, like you say, when they get their opportunity, we'll take the wide receiver for example, gets an opportunity to get some snaps on offense rather than special teams. He takes it, and then it gives you a nice headache on game day in terms of do we put this guy in because he's pretty good. I like the picks. I think that they could help. If the board falls that way, so we can get these guys in, because you don't want to see them on somebody else's team here.
Yeah. Go on then, Lorne.
I think when you come to the sixth and seventh round, you're really just drafting traits. As Jamie says, it fills needs, because you know you do have question marks at the back end of your cornerback, your wide receiver roster, and obviously again, you know, if you're talking about running a 4-3 defense, although again I've heard more this week that you're talking about Mike Parsons being a stand-up linebacker again. So are we going to a 3-4? Because obviously Zimmer did play a 3-4 here as well. Are you going to be a defense in transition this year as well? There's a whole lot of question marks there. Cornerback, the my sort of pet cat is the guy from who's coming down from the Toronto Argonauts of the CFL, Quantes Stiggers.
Stiggers.
I mean, you know, for him, again, he's ultimately, you can see him being a Disney movie at some point in time, because his whole life story at the moment is, you know, he graduates from high school. He's got 13 brothers and sisters, has his own child himself. His dad gets involved in a car accident, sadly passes away as a result of that. So he then has to drop out of college, take numerous jobs to help out with the family finances, ends up in the fan-controlled football league, then goes up to the CFL. Because, you know, he was in both leagues, he was standout player there. You know, he was the rookie of the year in the CFL. He was co-defensive player of the year in the fan-controlled league. And now he's eligible for the draft, and he's coming down. And he's already got that experience of being a pro player as well, because he's been playing up north. You know, if you could get him, but I mean, again, he could go anywhere. You know, he was on Adam Schefter's podcast this week. He's expecting to go somewhere as early as day two. So yeah. I wouldn't put the money on him there, but you know, if he's available in round five, that's what I'd be looking at. But
I would say end of day three is where you should really look to be drafting him for sure.
Yeah, but you always get a team like New England who will, you know, draft completely off the wall. With
will kind of like shoot it out of value. They do like that sort of moves. Yeah, that's for sure. But I think more than anything, what I look at with Dane's drafts, his mock drafts with these, is more the position groups and where he's taking them. Because I think the way that he's done it works very well in terms of draft sequencing. So offensive line, linebacker, running back, and then you're sort of moving back into the offensive line and then filling out the defense.
Yeah.
I think that particular type of... I know things can change by, like, how other teams are taken and how, you know, certain positions are coming off the board. But I think that, for me, is more telling. So when you watch it, you go, and you can see the sequence and you can see how that works for the Cowboys, their needs and draft value. And that was the most important. I think that's the most important thing to take away from particularly from mock drafts like Dane, because he is in tune with these teams. Yeah. So he kind of like, all right, some of at this stage of the season now, the narratives you're all hearing all are coming from agents and not from the team. So, you know, the way that all this moves around at this stage now is you just got to blank yourself off to it. But we're with Dane, you can take, rather than the picks, you can say, the position, the sequencing, how it all falls into place. And you go, okay. And that's what you keep an eye on as the draft happens. So I think go in, because the Cowboys don't have a fourth-round pick, and you look at the sequencing that he's done for the Cowboys, that makes the most sense. And I think that's what, when you get to the draft and you see offensive line for the Cowboys come off day one, you can go back to Dane's mock draft and go, right, okay, so we're looking at linebacker, running back. It may not be, you know, it might be that running back is the second round and linebacker is the third, but it's going to be in that sort of, you know, to follow the order of the sequence then to how it goes into day three. So I think that's the most important thing to take from it. Exciting times, though, guys. Can't wait. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This time next week we'll be going live, and it'll be, you know.
Well, I mean, depending, like I say, we're going to stick a post out, put that up on our Twitter and Facebook. We'll see what everyone wants to do. If there's enough interest in it all.
We should have enough for all the conversations that other people will get. Draft round before we go.
Sweet.
Whatever.
Yeah, losing you a little bit on the mic, mate.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
You need to get that mic set up, the pro board down to you.
Yeah, yeah. No, you see, because I rushed to get on tonight, so it will all be sorted by back to normal on draft night.
Well then, look, I'm gonna make life a bit easy for you, Jay. So, Lorne, you can hit us with it this week, mate. Go on, go
right,
for
okay.
it.
Okay, so we're probably only a couple of weeks away from the schedule release, and obviously you should be thinking about booking up for going to Dallas, going to a game. And if you are, make sure you use Cowboys Experience for game tickets, stadium tours, meet and greets, and much, much more. You know, we're backing these guys. We've experienced it from our tour last year. Barry and the team absolutely pulled out all the stops for us, and they do it week in, week out during the season. If you are going with them, make sure you use the promo code UK Cowboys, and you'll get some free stuff as well. And we're not just talking about stickers or anything like that. You'll get some premium merchandise as well. So.
Something really nice. Back next week, on Tuesday, actually, where we will do the final project prospect of the season. Then we will be doing, hopefully, a live call-in show. That is it from me this week. I started off first word. So these guys are the top of the last word. Have a good weekend, guys. Stay safe. If you want to start a fight, get it for the guys.
Right, have a good weekend. Start stocking up on your caffeine for next week, because we're going to be here the entirety of the draft.
As always, thank you for tuning in. Have a safe rest of the week, and we will catch you in draft mode next week.
Yeah, baby.